baba. He deske baba de kela ta shanda kada baba baba. De la gala rocho she kere be arada la kajenda da baba 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 baba. E to sena ke de. E de sekena ba de. E brotosko horre de la ke de ba de ba de. E lo go shanda kaya ta isha da. Yes! Yes, there is something about that name. Yes, it is a name that you cannot explain, saith the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. It is a name that cannot be easily defined in natural words of a natural man's mind and thought. But oh, people, I want you to know, my Bible tells you clearly how to know me and how to express me. It's not in words, but your deeds and actions. You can explain me to this world, but not by your natural mind, but by what you say and what you do. That is the expression of my name, saith the Lord. My people, I want you to get a grasp at where the church is living today. I explained to the Jew that was converted that there's a whole different way of living now than what was in the old tabernacle. I want you to know that I established very well in chapter 1 because of the angel worship that my son is the appointed heir of all things that the church inherits. Glory to God. And I say unto you this day, chapter 3, I said, do not neglect so great of a salvation. In chapter 4, it is entering into the rest of a completed work in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in chapter 5, I laid it out very clearly that you cannot stay in church and remain as a baby, but you have to go on into perfection, saith the Lord. You have to grow up and go into perfection. That's how my name is expressed, saith the Lord. And oh, I made it very clear that yes, you leave the first principles. Did you know that that first principle is also the laying on of hands? And I tell you, where the church has got to go is into perfection. It's got to cry out for the wisdom that rains down from above and supplies the kind of food that is necessary to take you in to complete maturity and perfection, saith the Lord. That's why when you get to chapter 11, it talked about how these heroes of faith bore a word that kept them focusing and going towards the tabernacle that I have now erected, not like the one in the Old Testament, but the New Testament tabernacle is the hearts, the spirits of just men made perfect, saith the Lord. Saith the Lord. And that's why in chapter 12, I've clearly stated that you have got to understand me as your Father. I have got to correct you. I've got to purge you. I've got to bring you to that place of correction and perfection, saith the Lord. It seemeth grievous, but afterwards it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness in your life, saith the Father. And I'm speaking to you now, children, as the Father. And I said, I come to Mount Zion, the spirits of the just men made perfect, so that through your born again spirit, I can correct you and I can shake all the damnable things in your life out of your life, so that only what is of me remains, saith the Lord. So that only what remains is of me, saith the Lord. Listen to what I say. Listen to what I say, saith the Spirit of grace. For it is important that you go on into perfection. Oh, how important it is. If you want to sing this song, if you want to sing it with a complete understanding that you are a new creature in me. You have been born from above. And I, as your Father, qualify more than any other father to see to it that you're brought to that place of perfection, saith the Lord. Rejoice in me for the sake of my name. Rejoice in me for the sake of my name. For I've given you my name. I've given you my standing. I have made you righteous in my sight. I view things not as men view them. I view them as a father to his children. Be ye therefore a dear child of God, and not one in rebellion, but one that takes correction. One that can stand and boldly say, I can't explain God, but I can live Him for you. I can't explain my Father, but you can see my Father in me, saith the Lord. Oh, get a hold of what I'm saying to you, church. Get a hold of what I'm saying to you, church. Because this is the hour the church will go into maturity. This is the hour the church will go into maturity. This is the hour the church will go into maturity. Even though it is the hour of many doctrines and winds of doctrines that flow through the church. But oh, I know those that know me. And those that know me, when they hear my name, it's because they are my sheep and not goats. They are my beloved children that hear my voice. This is the hour my church will wake up and hear my voice. Even at their own rebellion, they will hear my voice. Hallelujah. Oh, I have much work that needs to be done that has not even begun, saith the Lord. Oh, they have ministries and all the glory of the men is so pretty and white. But I got news for you. It doesn't matter what ministry is personified. It matters what I'm able to do in the inner man. The heart of you, saith the Lord. The heart of you, saith the Lord. That's the key to my success. What I can work in your heart. Let's sing that song again. There's something about that name. Let's sing it again. There's something about that name. Oh, sing it, hallelujah. Just sing it. Oh, Come into my presence. He can't come into the kingdom of heaven except, first of all, he's born from above. You have been born from above. Therefore, the thing that judges you is your fruit. I don't care what comes out of your mouth. I don't care what your mindset is. But what I am concerned about is your fruit. For a man's known by his fruit. Not by just what he says. Not just by what he thinks he knows. But by his fruit. And I would that you all bear much fruit. For that is my mindset toward you. For your fruit is an expression. Listen to me. Your fruit is an expression of how much I was able to open up the eyes of your heart. And so when I see fruit that is not of me, and yet men declare that that fruit is of me, oh, how detestable that is in my sight. For it is not the expression of me. It does not stand for my name's sake. But that which destroys the temple that I have made you. That's why swift judgment comes upon them that enter in and tear the temple down, which I have resurrected in you. If their doctrines destroy that temple, then I have to remove them or allow the enemy to come in and take them out. For they destroy the most valuable part of what my son's redemptive work was all about. And that is that I have made you a new creation in me. It would be more advantage to you if you would humble yourself before me and let me judge you where you're at now than when I have to come to that place that every knee shall bow. That means even the believer that has walked his salvation out through his flesh, he has got to get on his knees and repent. For I am the God of the universe. And I am the God of eternity. I have no beginning. And I have no end. But I have an eternity. For those that had a beginning. That has no end. That is for the saved and the unsaved alike. They have a beginning. But they will have no end. I would that all have an ending with me, saith the Lord. So it is important for you as the church to understand that my spirit of grace is off the leadership of the present church and is now under my mercy. For these leaders must begin to search out my mind, for they stand in a position of complete control over my body, and their tongue is leading my body. No, there's a small portion that is doing it right, but the majority is not doing it properly, and judgment will fall on each house this year. Judgment will fall, but not on the people, but on my leaders. For my leaders must begin to yield themselves in fellowship to me and quit looking at their ministry as a valid stamp of approval. For the closer you get with me, the more that ministry will purge off flesh. For the way to me is not a comfortable way when it concerns the flesh. The flesh likes the easy way out. But for you to go deeper in me, you've got to deny your flesh. And not everyone's willing to do that. For they partnered with their flesh. And they walk with their flesh. They commune with their flesh and they think it's me. For I am hard on flesh, saith the Lord. Because you are called to live your redemptive work out through your spirit and not your flesh. For flesh is already judged. It's condemned. It's graveyard material, saith the Lord. It will not inherit anything to do with eternity. For it must be in your understanding. It must be completely in your understanding that your vile bodies have to receive a glorified one. It has to receive one that has never been touched with sin. So the present one you're walking in, don't give it its word of authority. Don't give it its place. Think on these things that I'm telling you today. Think on these things. Your own worst enemy is your own flesh. My people, listen to me. Until you're delivered from yourself, then the Spirit of Christ, which is in you, cannot have free reign, cannot have its position or its place where you belong in me. Pay attention to what I'm saying today closely, my people, for it is so important for you. You know, the adversary doesn't sleep. He goes around seeking whom he may gulp down. Don't be found as one in his path that has no substance within himself. For the victory that needs to be possessed, that when he comes against you, you cannot resist him. Most of the avenue of where he defeats you is to the degree that you are walking your salvation out. Is it walking it out through your spirit? Or is it walking out through your flesh? Oh, how important this is to understand, people. How important it is to understand what you have been made in me. Oh, how important it is to know what you have been made in me. Until you understand that, you'll never be free. You'll never be free. For I've called you into freedom. I want the spirits of darkness to hear. I want the spirits of darkness to hear. That when you take the sword of my spirit and you speak to him, I want him to know it's because you have done what is necessary to complete the victory. Therefore, you're standing your ground, for when He comes again, He'll find you in the same spot of victory. Oh yes, there is something about that name. 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 Tammy, I want to sing that song, Open My Eyes. I want to sing that one again. Open my eyes, Lord. Let's sing that song again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have the prophetic spirit upon me this morning, people. You're getting your sermon. Hotoshif comes on me again. Let's open the eyes of my heart. I want you to sing this with understanding what it means. I want you to sing it now with the understanding of what it means. Oh. Oh.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. eyes fall.
Open our eyes, Lord. My people, I say unto thee, the fear of me is where you really begin to understand me and walk in me, talk in me. Listen to what I'm saying to you today. For the term fear, whether it's bad fear or good fear, the characteristics are the same. With fear comes the same characteristics, whether it's bad fear or good fear. Listen to me. When I said seek out your own salvation with fear and trembling, the word trembling means that which follows the fear. The thing that you have to know about fear, even though the characteristics are the same, whether it be good or bad fear, listen to me, the application is different. The application is different. The application of one fear tends to preserve and protect you, where the wrong application of fear can destroy you, because the characteristics are the same, but the results are different. When a good fear of the same characteristics have its center and focus around me, then you will be preserved and your end will speak great things. But when you have the wrong kind of fear operating in your heart, then the application of that fear will bring the end results that are disastrous for your life. You must begin to reverence me and understand that the characteristics of fear is something that you need to have in your heart if the application is just and right. The origin is different. For one fear can come from me, and another fear can come from your enemy. You need to understand the difference. Satan is an angel of fear. He lives in the entire wrong application of what fear will do. And fear, his fear, will consume him. His fear will burn him for eternity. His fear is his own worst enemy. But my fear is your best friend. To fear me is to be my friend. For the application is different, and the end is different. Listen to what I am saying to you, my people. For I am your Father, that has a consuming love for you that no one, no place, no circumstance can separate you from me. My heart is set on you and established forever. The end results is up to you. It is in your hands, and it is your choice. Holy shit. Again, it's said. Hallelujah. I hope you're recording this. That last part just came out of my spirit. I got to hear it again. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Let's go into another song. Where did Tammy go? Oh, there you are. Hallelujah. Oh, ropo shete. Oh, like Jana Lizeta. Oh, yes. Yes.
You are the air I breathe. Oh.
The air you breathe. Is He really the air that you breathe? Is His holy presence living in you? Is His holy presence living in you? Is He your daily bread? They gave us a stack of prayer requests were that thick. Those phones were constantly busy. And our whole program was focused on ministering. You may be seated, was ministering to these people. And when the program was over, I took a few minutes and I went through the prayer requests. And to my amazement, every one of those prayer requests was for us to pray for a believer that had called in to pray that they would get closer to God. You know, that means there's a lot of believers out there that are out of fellowship with the Lord. And one thing that we brought out on the program is if you don't have His presence in your life daily, then everything that we're saying on the program is irrelevant. Because people, you have to have a strong fellowship with the Lord. I want to share something with all of you. Feel the freedom and liberty to do this without going into any explanations. But I had to face my life about 4 months ago. Because I had some discouragements going off in me. I hadn't seen the results that I would like to, even in our ministry. You know, whether you realize it or not, every one of us will go to the end of the road that we've created for ourselves. I want you to listen to me. Well, about 4 months ago, I was there. I was at the end of this road in my life. I wanted to take a step up, but it seemed impossible. Thank God for His goodness and His presence. Because I had realized even in my own life there were things attached to me that God had to remove. And what brought it to the surface was I got into an angry situation. Not with God, but with life itself. None of you have ever been there. And I opened my heart up to the Lord. And I said, Lord, one thing that made David such a great man of God. And here I'm preaching this self-image thing. And you know, it seems like, well, I've arrived. But my own preaching convicts me. Whether you realize it or not, maybe some of you can't handle it. But one thing that I've discovered is that some of my own medicine cuts at me too. And just sitting there weeping before the Lord, I said, Lord, show me where I'm missing it. You don't ever want to get a vision like this. I had a vision that was so clear I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I saw me. Scary is not the word. And oh, I begin to understand very clearly that how much of my fellowship was not really focused on me. It was focused on situation or circumstances, you know. But you know, bad, negative circumstances, bad situations will stop in your life when you can stop what you are in the natural. And I asked the Lord, well, what do I do with this vision of me? And He says, why don't you bury that guy? Put him 6 feet under. And I said, Lord, how do I do that? I live with the guy. And the Lord said, thank God I don't. I think I got a revelation of what it really means to put that guy down. It's you know, it's easier said than done. It really is. It's easier said than done. And I said, God, well, then where can I get the insight or the information that is necessary to see to it that he's kept under? He said, the word that I'm giving you and preaching to you, it's sufficient. It's funny, you know, how you can preach the word of God and yet it can be an application for everybody else but yourself. And when the Lord said that, I said, well, what are you trying to say, Lord? And He says, well, you can preach a good message. It just hasn't been for you. And I always kind of religiously said, now, what I'm preaching to you is, you know, is something I experienced. Listen, my eyes were finally opened. I needed a dose of my own preaching. Hey, I'm copping out and giving you some insight here. If you're all not interested, I'll just keep it to myself. God began to show me an operation of our spiritual mind and our carnal mind. He showed me so clearly. I'm going to bring that revelation out tonight. And He showed me the utter importance of the Holy Spirit in our life. And if we don't fellowship with God, and then everything in your life is meaningless until you get to that place where you're fellowshipping with Him. His presence. And I never realized that even in His presence, the real me, the person that I am on the inside, was really not as connected as I thought it was. And it was through circumstances of the fruit in my own life that God was able to speak to me. God was showing me how a man cannot escape from his own fruits. It's impossible. He put it in my heart to understand that if you don't have the fruits to back up with what you think and what you say, it's irrelevant to him. Because the fruit is really the amplification of what has developed in you. And he showed me my fruit and I hated it. I hated my fruit. Tammy, I hated it. But sometimes you don't understand how to break away from that fruit. Now, I'm not talking about your pastor being out in sin. That's not what I'm referring to. I've got victory over pretty much the habits of my flesh. But you know, the habits of character and nature that has embedded itself in the roots of your soul, it's harder to remove than what you give it credit for. And God was dealing with me, as your pastor, He was dealing with me about more of the issue of the character of my heart in areas that don't belong to Him. And I begin to get a revelation real quick of what Hebrews chapter 12 is really all about. I understand now what it really means to have God do a shakening in the church to where only that which is of God is left in you. And he showed me an example that when I was a young person, I grabbed this tree and I began to shake it and it wouldn't move. I mean, that tree was solid. Yeah, I couldn't move it if I tried. But one day, this is before I was saved, I was in a car drinking, and I hit that same tree. This is as I grew. I hit that tree, and guess what happened? All the fruit on that tree hit my car. I meant it was an apple tree, and guess what? All them apples came down on top of me. And the Lord said what He wants to do is He wants to hit us in such a way that He'll shake that fruit that's not of Him right out of our branches. So that only what is going to produce afterwards will be fruit that is good. Fruit that's everlasting. I don't care how we look at it. We've got to come to that realization. Hallelujah. 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 Thank God, God was able to make some adjustments in me. And as a result of that, I began a process of this anointing that God's put into my life. I feel more of an authority with it. And I asked the Lord why. And He said very plainly to me. He said, until I can judge you, He says, you don't qualify to help another person. Now He's talking from my perspective as a pastor. He said, before you can help the one who has made a mistake, He says, you have to consider yourself. And then right after that, I think it's in Galatians 6, He talks about that. He said, right after that, He says, for what a man sows to, that's what he'll reap. I guess I got an understanding of what I was reaping by the fruit in my life that I wanted changed. Now, I'm going to tell you something, people. Every one of you in this room, you have things in your life that need to be removed. Not only habits of the flesh, but also habits of your nature and character that is not ordered according to the Word of God. And until you get to that place, you'll never qualify to help anybody else to the full potential that you can. You can help them to a limited degree, but you want to help them to the fullness that you can. Amen. And when God got through with me, I began to see things so differently, even in the Word of God. And it's hard to put into words how your natural mind is so blinded to what truth really is. And yet you think you know it and you don't. Now I know 1 John even more. Until a man gets to where he knows he's missing the mark, then God can't do anything with that person. 1 John is even more alive to me than it's ever been before. I said, God, why is it that all of us can't see this so clearly? He says, well, according to my word. He said, the thing that disqualified my fellowship with certain people is the fact that they couldn't even see the fruit that they were bearing themselves because they were too busy looking at somebody else's mistake rather than focusing in on what is causing them to focus in on another's mistakes. He says, because they don't see the mistakes within themselves, therefore they think they qualify to judge someone else. And listen, you never qualify to judge anybody else until you get to that place where you quit judging anybody for any wrong that they did, and you focus on being able to judge yourself first. Now, I have some other revelations that God has shared with me that I'm not at liberty to share with you right now because they're not clear in me. But I'm going to tell you something, people. The Holy Spirit is going to work on the body of Christ this year. The Lord has shared with me this year the body of Christ is going to be worked on in such a unique way that you're going to begin to see holiness come out of the church. But it can't come out of the church through condemnation. It's got to come out of the church through understanding and responsibility. One of the things that happened to many of us that we don't realize that until He has first place in our life, we haven't even begun to submit to the Lord. If you set Him on the background and His work on the background for your own natural man's comforts, you haven't even begun to submit to the Lord. I realize that that in Hebrews 6 there it said one of the first principles that you've learned at the very beginning was repentance from dead works. And the Lord began to share with me how much growth have I really made when He's brought me to a place of seeing how I need to repent from dead works in my character, life, and nature. How far removed am I from that? That disturbed me. And then, of course, I begin to realize that He wasn't referring to repentance from dead works from that viewpoint. He was talking about changing and going in a different direction as a result of your salvation. He says, but the type of repentance that you're doing now is, Lord, let us go on into perfection. See, and that's, He says, that's where you're going. When God can get into your heart and life in such a way that He can make changes and adjustments in you. My own righteousness kept me ignorant. The reason I could judge somebody else, I thought I'd arrived. Boy, I look at judgment altogether different now. Is this making sense to you this morning? Hallelujah. Okay. Offering. Okay.